Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, isn't it great to have so many great musicians here at St. John's? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We are definitely a blessed congregation, that's for sure. Well, it was about 15 years ago that my family and I, we were out in New York, and we lived a long ways away from my folks who were in Iowa and Catherine's folks who lived in Texas. And so for a period of 5 years, we purchased an RV. And we found that that RV was a great way to travel across country. Why? Because we could drive all the way into the wee hours of the dark night, and the kids could go to bed and sleep, and Catherine and I could rotate in and out of the driver's chair there while the other one went back to bed. It worked out very well. Well, I remember one time that it didn't work out that well. We were actually on our way back from Iowa visiting my family, and while we were there, we picked up a car. And so Catherine was driving the car. I was driving the RV. All of the kids were asleep. It was about 12:30 at night, and we were going along the road on the outskirts of Chicago. About 12:30 at night, all of a sudden, my GPS tells me to get off the road. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. I don't remember Catherine saying that we were going to be getting off the road here. And so I gave her a call. I said, Catherine, my GPS is saying to get off the road. She goes, don't listen to your GPS. It's wrong. And I said, but it's never steered me wrong before. At that point, I had the choice. Am I going to listen to my GPS? Or am I going to listen to my wife? Well, I have to admit it to you today that I made a bad choice that day. I decided to listen to the GPS. And as I was getting off the road, I could hear my wife on the phone saying, what are you doing? Next thing, we found ourselves in one of the shadiest parts of Chicago at 1 o'clock in the morning. And as we were going down this narrow road, I was looking, and many of the homes on both sides of the street were condemned. There were cars parked on both sides of the streets so close that I wasn't even sure that I was going to be able to get the RV through there. And so we almost had to stop. I bet I had an inch on either side between these cars. It was scary. I thought, I have now put my entire family in danger. My kids don't know what's going on. They're all asleep. My wife certainly knows what's going on. I made a very bad choice that day. By God's grace, we were able to get out of there and get back on the road after a few minutes on our way to New York. Well, this message here today is about choices. It's about choices that have been made throughout history, and it's about choices that are laid before us as well. And we certainly want to make good choices. I want to say happy Passover to everybody. On Tuesday, we're going to be celebrating Christ in the Passover. Passover officially began on sundown of Friday night, and so was going all day yesterday into today and throughout this next week. But about 3,500 years ago, when God instituted the celebration of Passover, it tells us in Exodus 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month, the month on the Jewish calendar is named Nisan. This month, Nisan, is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And here it is. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." So what choice were these people supposed to make? It was supposed to be a good choice. On the 10th of Nisan, these Israelites were to go out to their flock and they were to pick the absolute choicest, best sheep that they could find. The sheep couldn't have any defect, couldn't have any problem with it. And then they were to hold on and watch that sheep extra carefully from the 10th of Nisan until the 14th of Nisan, when they would sacrifice that animal to the Lord. And then the next day, on the 15th of Nisan, they would eat it and celebrate the Passover. Now, fast forward 1,500 years. The Jewish people are still, every year in the month of Nisan, celebrating the Passover. And in our gospel lesson for today, it says the next day, and what was the next day? It was Nisan 10. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Now, why on this 10th of Nisan are people waving their palm branches? Well, in order to understand the answer to that question, we got to go back about 200 years. Over Israel, there was this terrible king named Antiochus Epiphanes. And he really hated the Jewish people. Particularly what he hated was how they worshiped the Lord. He thought that how they worshiped the Lord in the temple was a threat. And so he desecrated the Jewish temple, even going so far as to have an unclean pig sacrificed in the temple. Well, the Jewish people didn't know how to fight back against such a mighty force as the Syrian army. But there was one man that chose to. His name was Judas Maccabeus. And Judas, with his ragtag bunch, were somehow, some way, by the grace of God, able to push back the mighty Syrian army. Incredible story. You'll have to read it if you haven't before. But when Judas Maccabeus came back into town after pushing the enemy back, what did the people do? They did something amazing. They went to the palm trees and they cut palm branches off. And they started waving them and laying them down before Judas Maccabeus. What were they doing? They were saying, "You're worthy. You're worthy to be our savior from our enemies, from the Syrian army. We choose you to be our leader." That was 200 years before Jesus. And now here comes Jesus riding in on this donkey into Jerusalem. And the people knew what had been going on. The word had spread quickly about Jesus and his miracle-working power. And many of the Jewish people started thinking, "We've got another Judas Maccabeus. We've got another guy. Now it's not the Syrian army who's our enemy. It's the Roman army. But if he can do miracles like this, he can deliver us from the Roman army." And so they started calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Save us. We choose you to be our savior from our enemies." So put this all together. It's actually really amazing. On the day the Israelites were to choose their lambs for Passover, the Jerusalem crowd chose Jesus, the Lamb of God, to be their Savior. Incredible. So that begs the question of us here today. Have you chosen Jesus to be your Savior as well? I know whenever we've got a big crowd like this, there's going to probably be a few different answers. Have you chosen him? Do you choose him each day to be your Savior? Because he's in Deuteronomy 33. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun. That's another name for Israel, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in the majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you. What a God you and I have, who is able to drive out the enemies in our life, the difficulties that we have when we call out to him. Psalm 55 says, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me." There's no one like God. There's no one that you can call out to morning, noon, and night that will hear your prayers and come to your rescue. Now, not everybody calls out to that guy. It says in Psalm 20, "Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." A lot of people trust in a lot of other things other than our God, other than Jesus. Some people trust in military might. Some people trust in politicians. I had one lady last night that started laughing when I said that. Some people trust that they're going to find all of their joy and peace in satisfying their hunger for things, for entertainment, for money, for possessions. But none of those things are worthy to bring us what we need. None of those things are worthy to save us. There's only one who's worthy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Right after all this took place, the Jewish leaders, who were not big fans of Jesus, said this, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." To the Jewish leaders, it certainly looked that way, that the whole world had chosen Jesus to be their Savior. Now, everything changed in just 5 days. From waving palm branches, from saying, "Hosanna, you're our Savior, you're worthy to be our Savior." In Luke 23, it says, "But the whole crowd shouted, 'Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us.'" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" From "Hosanna, you're worthy to be our Savior," to "Crucify him. We don't want him. We don't choose him. In fact, we choose the murderer. We choose the insurrectionist over him." It's a bad choice. Why did the crowd change their tune? Why did they change their choice so quickly? Well, the basic answer is this: Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Remember, what were they looking for? They were looking for another Judas Maccabeus. They were looking for a Savior that could very quickly save them from the mighty Roman Empire. And when it became pretty obvious that Jesus was a different kind of Savior, he was going to save us from something far worse: sin, death, and Satan. And they certainly didn't expect that this Savior that they were waving their palm branches at was going to allow himself to be arrested, was going to allow himself to be beaten and crucified and die on a cross. Why did they change their tune so much in just 5 short days from Nisan 10 to Nisan 15? Because Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Here's a question to consider. Will you still choose Jesus when he doesn't meet your expectations as well? This is the question that I was dealing with myself this week. There have been times in my life and in my ministry that he has not met my expectation. I have been involved with healing services for almost 20 years. And in those 20 years, I have seen him do dynamic miracles. In fact, so many miracles that I have 100 pages written about it in my book. And so whenever we pray for somebody, or I pray for someone in my family, or I pray for my own situation, and he doesn't do it the way that I expect him to do it, or in the timing that I expect him to do it, it's difficult. And maybe you've been there as well. We say this all the time in our healing services, but we know this. God is crystal clear that he hears and answers our prayers, but the how and the when are up to him and to his eternal heavenly wisdom. And sometimes it becomes crystal clear that the way that he does things, like it says in Isaiah 55, his ways are not always our ways. And when you're faced with that, and when he doesn't meet your expectations, when it doesn't seem like he comes through on time, or when it seems like for a time he's not coming through at all, are you going to continue to choose Jesus as your Savior every day? Not everybody does that. Sometimes people are so disappointed in how God does things when he doesn't meet their expectations, they walk away from him. And so it's a good question for us to consider. Inevitably, if it hasn't happened already, it's going to, where he's not going to meet your expectations. And how are you and I going to respond? Are we going to go from Hosanna to crucify him? Or are we just going to keep on worshiping him, keep on looking to him? If you go back a few chapters to John chapter 6, something like this was taking place. Jesus had just given a really difficult sermon. And it sounded like Jesus was speaking crazy things in the sermon. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12 disciples. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Translation, what was Peter saying? He was saying this, I don't like it either. I don't like what you're saying. I don't like the way you're doing things. But where else can I go? There is no other game in town. You're it. There is no other Messiah. There is no other Savior that's worthy. I don't get it. I don't understand the way that you're doing things. But where else can I go? You and you alone have the words of eternal life. And sometimes we find ourselves in that same situation, don't we? When Jesus doesn't meet your expectation, what are you going to do? You're going to go look to some other God? There isn't any other God. All the others are fake. There's no one like the God of Israel that you call out to that comes to your rescue. There's nobody that can. So what do? You say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I'm going to keep on choosing you today and tomorrow and the next day. I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep looking to you for my help, even when I don't understand. Now, do we always choose the Lord? No. That's what makes us sinners, right? And so our joy and our peace is not in us choosing him, but rather that he has chosen us. In John 15, it says, "You did not choose me," Jesus said, "but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Jesus says, with all of your sin, with all of your ups and downs, with you understanding me and not understanding me, with you loving me and you being frustrated with me, I just want you to know, I've chosen you. If you believe in Jesus and have been baptized, he chose you out of the world to be his very own, and he loves you. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. You have been chosen by Jesus Christ, who is the only worthy Savior to be his very own. Upon that cross, he washed away all of your sins. He defeated all of the major enemies in your life, sin, eternal death, and separation from God, and the devil that would like nothing more than to see you lost for all eternity. They were all defeated on that cross for you. And now he says, I choose you. So why do we choose him? Why day after day do we seek to show our love for him? We love him because he first loved us and chose us to be his very own. So as we come to the end of this Palm Sunday message, what should we take from all of this? Simply this. In response to Jesus choosing you, daily choose Jesus as your Savior, even when you don't get it, even when you don't understand what he's doing. He's the only one who's worthy of your praise, and he's the only one who's worthy of being called Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.